Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved, cast out demons, and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order to 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. We thank you.
Are you ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
Do a sound check. How's the audio coming through, Professor Tom?
You're coming great.
Okay.
I'm doing good, too.
I don't see the major yet, but when he clicks on that link, we'll see him and plug him in. We'll get started. Everybody, welcome aboard. This is going to be a live marathon broadcast here on Monday, September 5th, 2022. Excited to be here with Professor Tom Mack. And Brother Mack, you'd like to open us in prayer tonight?
Yes. Heavenly Father, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we come before you with this program tonight. We just ask that the words that be said on this program would be your words, and that we would speak what you would have us to speak, and that we would minister fully in your words. And we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us this opportunity, especially in these days. And we just thank you now, and we give this program to you. In Yahushua's name, amen.
I say amen to that.
Well, there's Major Baird.
Major Baird, let's do a sound check.
I have you 5x5.
Okay, right on time, gentlemen. Let's roll. And welcome aboard, everybody. We're excited to be here with you. Go to OmegaManRadio.com. We're streaming on about a total of 12 networks, everything combined. Many options right now if you want to watch this live on video. You can see the gentleman. Okay, guys, over to you. We got 1 hour. Take it away.
Okay. Well, finally, and I see I messed up here. It shouldn't be the second horse. It should be the third horse, because we're going to the pale horse now, or the green horse, depending on what color we have here. And so let's go ahead. Tonight's thing is drought, the battle to starve America. And that's literally what they're planning to do. But we're going to find out also that they don't always, the devil doesn't always get what he wants. Remember Wynn Whirley used to say that a lot. Make the demons just very, very mad when he did it. So let's go to some scripture first. We're going to go to Revelation 6, verses 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. We're going to look at that word in a minute. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. So it sort of suggests that maybe some of the animals are going to turn on these people.
Yeah, yeah. And notice that it says a fourth of them.
Mm-hmm. That's why I underlined it, because it's important. And we'll mm-hmm. find out why in a little while.
Okay.
First off, let's look at that word, pale. And it's sort of a familiar word in English, chloros. We get our word chlorophyll, chloroform.
But chlorine.
Yeah, chlorine. That's another one. I didn't think of that one. But it's interesting that we look at all the different, or the experts on what this word means. And they start with green, but they go to yellowish pale.
Yep.
Exactly what a plant does. And, you know, I grew up in Iowa, a lot of corn around there, a lot of soybeans. And in the summer, that corn would be so green, and in Iowa, so tall. And yes, I will spare you the Iowa tall corn song. But it's interesting that the two are together. And it's also interesting when you look at how they translated it. Three of the four times the translators translated chloros green. But the fourth time, they translated it pale. And I think they had a conundrum, because it can mean either one. Which one are you going to choose? Well, since nobody has yet to see a green horse, I think the translators chose yellowish pale, because, yeah, you do see some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially out here in the West with quarter horses and...
Yeah.
With
Palominos,
mm-hmm. pain horses, we call them out here.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it's been a while since I've been to a horse auction, but I still have yet to see a green horse. But it's interesting that this word gets used, because what are we dealing with now in this day and age? We're dealing with them tampering with plants.
Yep.
Back in the 1960s, I used to remember all the ads that came out for hybrid seed.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't think too much about it. But there was one thing that happened with hybrid seed. You couldn't save some of your crop and plant it the next year.
Yep. It wouldn't generate.
When I was in science class, we were discussing genetics. The teacher showed us that only about 41% of the seed would even grow the next year. And he mm-hmm. was only doing it based on something like 6 traits. I got a feeling it might go down even more.
Right.
But the other thing, too, is plants play into us some other ways, as you were explaining to me. Like, what are we doing when we jettison all this stuff out of planes?
Oh, yeah, the aerosol injections up in the stratosphere. Those particular chemicals and actual metal minerals, aluminum, magnesium, and so on, are in almost in molecular form, so they stay suspended in the air a long time. And the problem is, as they settle down, they get into the soil, and the plants ingest them. And it turns the plants into a potential burning inferno.
Yeah, the two things they seem to put out of the planes these days are barium and aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I wish I'd put up something for that. Barium, BA, remember the symbol in chemistry class? Aluminum, AL. Put those two together, you get bale.
You sure do.
So, this is something. Reason we're having a drought is because this horse is like a chemtrail plane. He's delivering the poisons into our plants. You also mentioned one other thing I want to make sure we get clear. You say that when these plants ingest these elements, they get flammable?
Yes.
So it's no wonder we're having such problems, say, out in California.
Exactly.
Because we have created a bunch of flammable plants.
Well,
but unlike
we got two things going against us right now in this climate manipulation, if you want to call it that. There are directed energy weapons up in the satellites, up in space, that can shoot a high-powered laser beam straight down. And that's why you see various houses in a neighborhood where only that house, the trees nearby are not touched, but only the house itself is ignited. Or if they go into an area where they want a forest, those trees are already ingested with these elements, and they are highly inflammable. And they, once that fire goes, and I've been in forest fires, it creates a system all of its own. And I've seen it leap a good 15 miles.
Wow.
From one section to another. In fact, our house at the time, it had a wind shift. It was headed, the wind was forcing the fire to go out towards the inlet, which was to the south. And suddenly we got a southerly wind and it pushed it to the north. And immediately jumped right across the Little Susitna River. I was on the north side of the Little Susitna River, and here's my house and the highway. And then beyond that, another 10 miles, was the missionary airplane that I flew.
Mm.
And so what we did, the flames actually jumped across the highway. So now it's on my side of the highway. We've got flames on both sides of the highway, and it's coming up right towards our houses in our neighborhood. We had three family houses in our neighborhood, and we had been wetting them down with water as we had been there, but we had to abandon them. And in order to get out, we had to actually drive through a canyon of flames on either side.
Oh, and, a lot of praying there.
Yeah, we got up to the airport at Willow Airport, which is 10 miles north. And we slept in the hangar up there waiting to see if it was going to come further north, because if it did, then we were going to evacuate the airplanes off the airfield and go on further north where it couldn't reach us. So these are things. But the problem is that was just a natural fire started by nature, which is where most of them start up in Alaska. We don't have the aerosol injection up there. Not nearly as much. In fact, I hadn't even noticed it up there, but I sure noticed it down here on the Lower 48.
Do you even have them in St. Vincent's?
No, we don't have them here. We do have Sierra sand dust coming all the way across the Atlantic Ocean. But that's a good thing because it flattens out the volatility of the hurricanes, because if a hurricane starts to develop and runs into one of these patches of a sandstorm, it's dry enough that it absorbs the moisture and away goes the hurricane.
I know you've got a couple of hurricanes in your area right now.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we had the...
Actually, they're tropical storms right now.
Well, at this point, that's what they start out with, yeah. We had one little thunderstorm early this morning, but that was about it, and it was more in the central part of the island, not nearly as concentrated where we are.
Okay, well, let's look at some more words here. We want to look at death, and I have to admit, I think Dr. Strong didn't really want to deal with it, so he just said, well, Thanatos means death. And that's where it ended. And we find out it's in the King James Version 118 times. And it means what it says and says what it means.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you go to Thayer's lexicon, you start to see he does a whole explanation of it.
Yes.
And he talks about the separation of the soul and the body. A separation of the soul from the body.
Yep.
And then he talks about an implied idea of a future misery in hell. And we start talking about the netherworld, which Thanatos discusses. And it's sort of interesting. It's conceived of being very dark.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talks about the misery of the soul arising from sin, which begins on earth but lasts and increases after the death of the body in hell. Mm-hmm. Some interesting concepts there. And Thayer really goes to it. But then Mounts, who also has a lexicon, he just says the extinction of life, whether naturally or violently. But he also talks about the imminent danger of death, not actually dying, but close to it. Maybe Thanatos could be related a little bit to what you used to say in Vietnam, today's a good day to die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in the New Testament, he talks about spiritual death, whereas Yahushua explained to us that not to fear somebody who can kill the body, but somebody who can kill both the body and the soul.
Exactly.
And I like also that he gives scriptures. And that's why I'll use Mounts. And then the last one is hell, which the Greek word is Hades. And it's a very famous Greek word because it's used in a lot of Greek literature, especially the mythology of Greece. And Strong's, basically, it says the grave or hell. Thayer, on the other hand, like we've seen other times, he expands it a little more. And he talks about Pluto, the god of the lower regions. Orcus, the god of the netherworld, the realm of the dead. And it's interesting that he goes through a little more detail. Whereas Mounts gives us three definitions. A place of punishment. Hell, or the lowest place or condition. Well, he now suggests to us, and I'm not so sure, we'll have to study this a little more. If that's the lowest place, are there places in hell that are higher than other places? Dante would think so.
I've heard there are seven levels.
And that's something you've written about. And I think one of these days, Shannon's going to have to get you on to finish that. But the other thing we're going to look at today, now that we're seeing the famine, we want to see the guys that are creating it. It starts with Karl Marx. He wrote a big, huge volume called Das Kapital. Have you ever seen a copy of it? It is a big, thick book. I'm trying to do it here and not... It is huge. And honestly, I've tried reading it and it's very confusing. Admittedly, he wrote it in German, so... You have the problem of translating German to English, and there's some problems there, as you well know. And we have our second Nazi, and Klaus Schwab, when I've heard him speak in German, he sounds just like the Nazis do. It just, and I don't speak German well enough to quote him, but... He says, you will own nothing and be happy. Because he wants a centralized government that controls everything. But he's trying his best to hide that. But let's see what happens here. We've had our summer of drought already. This has not been a good summer for a lot of people. And we're going to look at it. But first, we want to go through what the World Economic Forum wants. They want to reduce the population to sustainable levels. To do that, they need to remove people. You can starve them. You can kill them by war. Or you can come up with other methods. In fact, that's what they're working on right now, is how to kill people. And I mean, they've taken most of all the research that the Nazis did during World War II and have advanced it forward into this. But one of the things they've done, and this has been insidious, is they incited a war between Russia and the Ukraine.
A proxy war between the Western powers and Russia.
Yes, Russia and Ukraine with all the proxies. But, you know, as they say, we'll fight to the last Ukrainian. It sort of sounds funny, but I don't think it's very funny. So what they did, they go to the Obama administration, and they seem more than willing to go along with this. So they use they use various organizations to incite a revolution in Ukraine. And what that does, it brings in a government that's favorable to the West, and especially favorable to the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, that happened in 2014.
Yes.
Yep.
The color revolution, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once they established power, they started weaponizing the Ukraine with Western military goods, and they placed in military advisors to help the Ukrainians build up their military. And I wonder just how many American soldiers were military advisors there. And when I look back at Vietnam, I don't know if that's such a good thing that we're sending around all these guys to advise countries. Maybe they need to stay home and advise our own country.
No, we don't want that either. They're specifically trained and taught how to initiate divisiveness in a society in order to divide and conquer.
That's not good.
No, and that's exactly what they did in the Ukraine. And then they were going to actually do a genocide against the Russian-speaking part of the population, which is a full half of the terrain on the Dnieper River, on the eastern side of the Dnieper River.
The interesting thing is, though, before they started doing that, they got their government to do one thing because it was going to fit into the rest of it. Ukraine is one of the few countries in this world that will accept anything. And they accepted biolabs.
Mm-hmm.
And they did so by bribing the Ukrainian leaders. Zelensky's got himself a nice multi-million dollar house in Miami, Florida, right on the coast. Where'd he get all that money? He certainly didn't work for it. Yeah, I know he's an actor, but Ukraine is not a big market for television.
Well, when our government spends $5 billion or sends $5 billion in military aid, that doesn't necessarily mean anything goes to Ukraine. The money goes there, fills the pockets of those leaders that are in charge, and then whatever comes through as far as the material is concerned usually goes out on the black market.
That's what we're seeing. But what we did notice is that Russia saw these things, and they used diplomatic channels, and the Minsk agreements were signed. One in September of 2014, and they all got together on February 12, 2015. But the Ukraine government remembered what Lenin said. Treaties are like pie crusts made to be broken. And that's what they did. It's one of the few times the Russians actually, well, the second time the Russians actually were not able to break a treaty. However, they've been very good since they haven't been the Soviet Union. Let's be fair. You know, Soviet Union, the only time they didn't break a treaty is because Hitler broke it first. So,
yeah. Yep.
So what we're seeing here is we're seeing them sign an agreement, walk away, and just do what they were going to do. And for several years, the Russians worked through diplomatic channels to get the parties to the treaty to follow it. And even the Trump administration at one point in time cut off most of the aid to Ukraine at the request of Putin and the Russian government because of these violations. That I got to give the Trump administration credit for, is they want people to keep their agreements too. Because if you don't have the rule of law, you don't have anything.
And if you don't have trust, you have nothing at all.
And Trump tried as hard as he could to have some trust, a trust relationship with Russia. And I think he would have had more had he had a second term, but that's my speculation. But suddenly 2021 comes around in January. We see Joe Biden, quote, elected. And suddenly all the aid to Ukraine started kicking back in. Because there's already quite a bit of money authorized, but was never sent because Trump stopped it. Well, it started again. And the Ukraine government decided it was time to exterminate the ethnic Russians in the Donbass region. Well, when that happened, Russia moved to protect their interests. Suddenly, the EU, which had no business in this at all, they sanctioned Russia.
Well, they essentially, the United States is the initiator of it. President Biden was the one that made the announcement, and then everybody else was more than eager to climb on board, jump on board, actually, not climb, but literally jump on board. The EU, the Western democratic nations, Germany, France, Great Britain, Europe itself,
Italy.
Primarily, most of it, and there were just a few exceptions, and one of them was Hungary.
Yeah, Hungary was not happy with it, but for a while they played along, but now they've, in fact, now they've been quietly talking to the Russians.
Yeah, you know, this is all fitting right into the those two verses in Revelation, because it says by the sword and by famine, by pestilence and by wild beasts, a fourth of the world, not only in humans, but animals as well, beasts and humans, a fourth will perish. That's speaking a lot. When you have 8 billion, we'll use that as a round number now, used to be 7, but it's now closer to 8. So 8 billion people, and you have one quarter. How many billions of people will you have dead? 2.
That's, 25%, 2 billion. And if you think about it, that's sort of the population of Europe and the United States. Boy.
Yep, that's right. Now, if you go into Revelation 9, I think verse 15, it says additional to that, there will be one third more. If you take one third of the remaining portion of the world population and you calculate that out, that actually one third of the remainder and one quarter of the beginning, it turns out that
would be another 2 million.
That's 2 million, which is half of the world's population in just 2 verses. Now, there's all those other verses are talking about death too. So you have a lot more being killed and dying than just those 4 billion. But there's a massive amount of 4 billion that is spoken of as judgment against mankind for their iniquity. And we can see that there is a calculation on timelines of scripture in which they found, as they were calculating it out, that the war in heaven, based upon the signs that they were looking for, started in 2017. And their calculations bring to bear the other scripture that says, as there was war in heaven, then of Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels, and then there was found no place in heaven for Satan and his angels. So they were kicked out of heaven, and it appears to come to earth, and it appears that there actually is a date that that has already happened on the 21st of March, 2021. And it's going to continue for 42 months.
So we've still got quite a bit of time, like about 2024.
That's exactly right. Right when we have our midterms. Oh, I'm sorry. No, our next
presidential election, if we get that far.
If we get that far, that's right.
See, so one of the things we have to realize is we've got this war. We've got fertilizer shortages, which is going to create less food production. Because sadly, a lot of farmers have forgotten how to do things naturally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, simple things like taking the manure spreader out there.
Amen.
And taking what the cattle give you and using it somewhere else.
Exactly. The folks that owned our land on the farm that I was raised on, over 20 years had completely depleted the mineral content of that soil so that it barely raised anything. And it took my dad and myself about 8 years, eight to 10 years, of constantly spreading back out the, because instead of running a grain operation, we ran a dairy operation, which gave us lots of manure.
Yes.
And 120 replacement stock and 40 milking cows produce a lot.
Yes.
And but it still took that much to be able to get the fiber and the humus back into the soil so that the soil would then produce that the Lord had determined for it to do.
So one thing I would say to people is there are farming methods out there that will allow you to take depleted land and restore it.
That's right.
And maybe somewhere along the line, we may have to do a program to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that we've noticed here is they have been attacking the supply chain for food in numerous ways. And here is an FBI report that I just came across. And people are using ransomware. Hackers, probably some people want to say, oh, it's Russian or Ukrainian. No, I don't think so.
No, no.
I think it's somebody more insidious.
Mm-hmm. Our own government.
And one of the places they're attacking is a choke point in the delivery of food, agricultural cooperatives. Because most farmers sell their grains to agricultural cooperatives. In exchange, they buy gas and supplies and everything else. But also, the cooperatives then sell the grain out to various distribution points, and it ends up in the hands of manufacturers who then create the food. But if they can attack the agricultural cooperatives.
Exactly. If they control them, they can control the production of the food at that particular point. And anything getting through, then they can go to the manufacturers and food processing manufacturers, and they also belong to organizations, and they can control them through those. Plus the fact that then it's a lot easier. They're very visible. You don't have the thousands that you have of farmers. You just have a few processors. So look at what we've had for the last 18 months, over 100 burned
we'll
up.
We'll show that in a minute here.
Yeah.
And here we are. We're seeing, because I will say this from experience, having worked with agricultural cooperatives, many of them, their computer systems are a generation behind. And it gets very, very hard to get them to keep their systems updated. I could go around to a lot of cooperatives and I would still see Windows XP running on them, which is inadequate considering the climate we're in right now. And when this breaks down, suddenly the cooperatives are back to doing everything by paper. And that's a long process. And I hate to say it, a lot of young accountants, I don't know if they could use an old calculator like I had to use when I started out.
Yeah.
I got to where I could really whip through a calculator, but my dad used to tell of auditors had come in because he worked for a cooperative that was on the Illinois Central Railroad. And so every once in a while, the auditors would come through. And he found one auditor there who did not need an adding machine. He could do it all in his head.
Wow.
And I've seen people like that too.
Yes. Yes, I have too.
And it amazes me. Even my father, you could run out 7 head of cattle. He could figure out how much they were going to weigh, how much they were going to bring, and what it was going to cost for you to pay for them when the auction was over.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just normal for him, and he did that even into his 80s. We'd go into stores, and he could calculate what his change is going to be before the store did. Mm-hmm. I'd look at him, and I'd say, well, he's been doing it all his life. Why should he stop now?
Yep.
And he pretty much did it all his life. And the FBI warned that if we don't get these problems in the IT system fixed, we will literally have a major crisis on our hands. And I've put the statements here, and since time's getting to be a little bit of an issue, I'm going to just have people read this. And if you have questions, at the end of this, we have our email addresses, and you can write us and ask more, and we'll address some of these on a future program. And thankfully, I've identified here, one of them was called Hello Kitty, 5 hands, and it's ransomware. What they do is a ransomware comes into your system and renders you unable to access your own data. And then when you open up your computer or start it up, it'll say, you can't get to your information unless you pay us money. And in one case, they said they wanted $30 million. And it takes, in fact, on my systems, I have 2 systems to check for ransomware and keep it off. And it's getting to be a problem. You can't run a computer without security these days. But I see that happening with a lot of companies. And I'm hoping that's improving. But so far, the FBI is not convinced. And then another thing that we've noticed here is how many fires. And fires have to be set some way. Started with Tyson Foods in Holcomb, Kansas. Suddenly we see a Kellogg facility in Memphis, Tennessee. Here's another page. Even Cargill, one of the largest corporations, in fact, it's the largest private agricultural concern in the world. They got hit in Louisiana, La Compte. And it's an explosion in a feed mill. I can understand a silo or something exploding. That happens once in a while. A potato plant in Warden, Washington.
Yeah. Well, a feed mill, I've seen an explosion in a feed mill. And
okay.
And it was primarily the same problem that you have with a silo, except that in the mill, they had allowed the dust to accumulate and they hadn't cleaned things out.
That'll do it.
Yep.
A Hot Pockets plant in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Hmm. A Walmart fulfillment center in Plainfield, Indiana. A fire. And there's, like I say, we're just pages of these. And all different types. A plane crashing into a processing plant. What's the odds of that?
It sounds like those automatic kill switches that they have on engines.
Here's another one in a General Mills plant in Covington, Georgia. And Charlie Kirk, former governor of Florida. Food processing plants don't just accidentally burn down at this rate, and they certainly don't coincidentally become landing pads for plane crashes at the rate they are. Our food supply is under attack in America. The question is, by who? Well, sadly, I can't answer that one today. And in fact, I'm going to leave that open, and if some of you have ideas, send us emails. Next thing on the want to talk about in this summer of drought is how bad is it? And the University of Nebraska researches this and has for many, many years. And now they release drought maps on the internet so that all you got to do is you just USA drought forecast and you can download them free. And I had to put a picture in. If we're going to talk about the University of Nebraska, we got to have a picture of Memorial Stadium, home of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, who since they have joined the Big Ten have been basement dwellers. They found out that playing Michigan State and Iowa and some of these other places are not quite as easy as playing Kansas State and Kansas and Oklahoma State. But this is the drought monitor as of August 16th, 2022. And we see a lot of problems in Texas and in California and Utah. In Nevada, it's really bad. And let's look at Texas a little closer. The central part of the state has been ravaged. And even the western part of the west central has been ravaged. We've also seen another bad drought. And it's all through western Kansas and Nebraska. Look at California. Judgment in that state. But now I've done another one. I looked at it and I just pulled this one down today. And it's from August 30th. Notice suddenly the Texas is doing better. Oklahoma's sort of suffering a little bit, and Kansas is having a tough time. But suddenly I look at Colorado and it's clear almost. Wonder why. I live in Colorado. California still having a time. Let's look at some a little closer. Look at Kansas. They're having a hard time there. Texas, this time it's looking a little different. Suddenly in the northeast part of the state is clear. Wonder why. We'll have to think about that a little bit. Colorado. There's even a place right through the center. Gee, that's where I go to see my doctors, or when I go up to Denver on business, or Pueblo. It's interesting. Why is there suddenly a hole there? My old home state of Iowa. And I see over in the western part of the state, it's pretty bad. And Iowa's has some other problems, too. And Michigan. I'll let Major Baird comment on Michigan.
Well, it's fairly open, actually, as you can see. There are some traces up on the Upper Peninsula where it's definitely dry. But overall, it's not as bad as it used to be in the Dust Bowl time. My folks would tell me about the various small lakes, and Michigan is full of small lakes, just like Minnesota. And those lakes dried right up.
Wow. And I see here, what is that bay? I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, I can't tell you because I can't see it.
Oh, okay. And then you see here in California, and they grow a lot of fruits and vegetables in that part of California that's dark red. But they're not going to grow very many if they don't start getting some water there.
Amen.
Well, it's interesting. Back about 2006, maybe a little earlier, I started developing what I call the Bible music. I found a way to translate Hebrew letters into musical notes, and then I could play them. For a while, it took a while to figure out how to play them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of softwares that I use to do that.
You can go right through scripture then.
Exactly. And I have many times. And in fact, one of my first experiments back in 2006 was I started playing the entire Hebrew Bible through just to see what it sounded like. And eventually I had to change a lot of things to finally get it to where it would sound good. But, you know, for a while there, I worked on it, and Olaf Hagee, he helped me with it quite a bit, and so did Chris Blodgett. We've had Chris Blodgett on Omega Man. And both of them helped me in the construction of the music and teaching me the engineering part of it, which I did not know until that point in time. I had to learn. Well, one of the things I started embarking on July 4th of all times, 2022, I made music from Isaiah 9:8 to the end of chapter 13, which, if some of you remember, that's the scriptures about 9/11 and all the things that were going to happen because we would not do things our Heavenly Father's way, but we did them our own way. We planted cedars instead of sycamores. And Jonathan Kahn has told us about what has happened with that. Well, what most people don't realize is Olaf Hagee found a lot more. And so have other people as well. Then on July 22nd, 2022, I had to go up to Colorado Springs. While I was waiting in a waiting room in Memorial Hospital, I watched the local television, and the weatherman was complaining that they were having hot weather, and on 18 to 21 days, and they had greater than average temperatures, 18 to 21 days in the month of July, and they only had rain on three of those days. Well, since I had one of my pieces of music on my phone, name of it's called Rain Machine, you can download it on the website, I started playing it in the waiting room of the hospital. Within 2 hours of playing it, suddenly clouds came off the mountain, and it was raining there. Well, the interesting thing was, by the time I got home to Trinidad, the rain didn't get to Trinidad. I was a little disappointed. And I asked a friend of mine who's a meteorologist why that was, and he couldn't account for it. And we've seen this many, many times, where rain will come down off the mountains, and it bypasses Trinidad, goes to the north, goes to the south. So this time I played Zechariah chapters 13 and 14 into the air. Within 2 hours, thunderstorms came over the mountains. And interestingly for Trinidad, it's pretty rare, but it continued much of the night. Because you have to remember, Trinidad is in the corner of the Great Desert, the Great Southwestern Desert. So, I've been working on some of this music. And if you want to download this MP3, or download the PDF file, I have put hot links in these so you can download this music and try it for yourself. And the thing that got me was, why did Zechariah 13 work? Verse 1, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Interesting.
Gentlemen, we have 3 minutes left. Just give you a heads up.
Okay. I got a Telegram channel link, and you can download my most recent research there. Let me know what you find out. And I also have the website where I have some of my older editions. So, I also wanted to give you the websites for Major Baird, liveontheedge.com. I'll let Major Baird explain all that.
Well, in order to contact me, you can contact me on my website, which is aliveontheedge.com. Or you can contact me on email at tom@aliveontheedge.com. Also, when you visit the website, you can check out the books that are available there. The Sharp Edge of the Sword is a book of prophecies that the Lord, prophetic visions and pronouncements and decrees that the Lord has given me throughout my lifetime. And it shows, interestingly enough, what's going to happen in the United States and what the end result is going to be. We are going to go through a tumultuous time where our whole nation will be turned upside down. But in the end, those remaining as a remnant unto God will still be here in the United States. And they will be the source of the seedbed for the Lord to work.
Folks, get these books. Learn what's coming. Get prepared. Awesome websites with amazing resources. And if you're coming in late tonight and you missed this on video or audio, we're going to have this up in the archives. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming on. God richly bless you both. I'm really loving this StreamYard, so let's keep rolling with this. And
sounds good to me.
We will see you, gentlemen, next time. Love you both.
Love you, too, and thank you very much.
Love you, too, and thank you for having us.
Thank you, gentlemen. Folks, again, tune in same time next week for more with Professor Tom Mack and Major Tom Baird. All right. Let's set up for our next show. And welcome aboard every night, everybody. Hey, I've got a special blue shirt on. It's the only one that I own, I think, this color. But I had to mix it up a little bit. I'm getting tired of the red and black. Are you kidding me? Okay. Oh, the hammers have started right next door. They're building again. That's okay. It's good to build and to plant. Let me save this. We'll be right back.